And I found a lot of little nice clips on the internet, and I want to kind of put them out on Facebook or Twitter, whatever that is. I got to watch what I say. I get in trouble saying that. And I just got to pay attention to that. But I found it, and I want to show you one of these. I like this statement right here. Anyone can make you smile. Many people can make you cry. But it takes somebody really special to make you smile with tears in your eyes. What do you think? It's about relationships, you know, and it's about how do we deal with our relationships. And last week I began and we kind of talked about the idea that love is a choice, it's not a feeling. Feelings are undependable and feelings are they fluctuate and they change. That our love should always be there. It's a choice. We choose to be patient. We choose to be kind. We choose to be gentle. And we talk about those choices. Well, this morning what I want to talk about is that we need relationships. And there's kind of five basic relationships we all need. All right? That God created us and God formed us. And in the midst of that, we desire relationships. The scripture is really plain. If you read the first part of the book of Genesis and the beginning of the Bible, God talks about creation. And if you're not familiar with the story, it talks about God created the heavens and the earth and goes on down through all this. And every time he's saying it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. He just keeps repeating himself. Then as you go, before even man messed up the world, sin, God had this to say. If you've got your little outline out, you can follow along. There's blanks to fill in. So you just pull it out of your worship folder. And God said this. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a help suitable for him. That it's not good for man. Now, we're talking about men specifically. Some of your ladies are going, yeah, it's not good for my husband to be alone. You know that, right? Some of you ladies can really agree with that. You know? But I think it's bigger than that, because I think God created all of us for relationships. He created all of us to be in relationships. You know, it's that system of relationship. We have a digestive system. We have a vascular system. We have a skeleton system. But we also have a relationship system. I want to make sure you get that picture. That there's this system of relationship. And God designed us that way. And so if you want to fill in your first blank, you could write this down. God designed you to actively seek relationships. Because what I want you to know, relationships don't happen by accident. It takes some investment of your time, some investment of your energy, a willingness to risk. Some of you, it's really risky. There are some of you who are here, and I know some of you. Some of you are shy. Anybody here shy? You're not going to raise your hand because you're shy, right? You know, it's like, yeah, raise my hand, I'm shy. Yeah, sure. You know, there's some who are bashful. They're not as outgoing. They're a little more timid. And some of you are shy. But I'm going to tell you what. You still need relationships. Would you agree? If you agree, say amen. Come on, help me out here. All right. You know. And then some of you are introverts, right? Some of you, you know, and that's introvert, extrovert kind of thing. And an introvert is one who they like to be alone. You know, they get in a crowd and it just kind of drains them. I think the best way to look at introvert, extrovert is energy. Like, I am an extrovert, okay? Some of you know me. I take all these psychological tests. I'm weird. You need to know this. I'm crazy. I'm weird. I take every psychological test I can take, trying to figure out who I am, all right? I'm just trying to figure this thing out, you know, trying to figure it out. And I take these tests. I am over-the-top extrovert. You get me in a crowd, and I just pump up with energy. I just, you know, it's like, man, let's go, you know, let's have fun. It's just a great. And then some of you get in a crowd like here this morning. Some of you are here this morning. You're an introvert, and it's just really hard. It's really draining. You know, you get energized. You get by yourself. You get a good book. You know, you take a walk. You sit in just kind of solitude and just kind of relax. And you just re-energize yourself. And that's what an introvert, and some of you are that way. But I want to tell you something. You still need relationships. Yeah. There are some basic relationships we all need in life. If we're going to function, and if we're going to succeed in life, and if we're going to have a fulfillment in life, and we're going to have a meaningful life, and we're going to have a purposeful life, there's something about relationships. And you got to work at it. It doesn't just happen. You know, if I want to have a nice relationship with my waitress or waiter at the table, you know what I better do? I better treat them nice. Because you don't know what's behind the wall right there, right? You know, you better be nice to them. You know? But we need that relationship. You know, how that old saying used to go, you get more with honey than...
I don't remember how that went. Some of you guys are going, I have no idea what you're saying.
You know, yeah, vinegar, there it goes. You get more with honey than vinegar, you know. And it's so true that we're created that way from the very beginning. And when Jesus was asked, you know, Jesus, this lawyer, this leader came to Jesus and goes, what's the most important thing for me? That's exactly what he was saying. He's saying, you know, he's talking about the commandments and everything, but he really wanted, what's the number one thing I need to concentrate on? What's the number one thing I need to focus on in my life? And here's what Jesus said. It's in your outline there, Mark chapter 12. The most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. See, he's saying the most important thing in life are your relationships. It's that relationship with others, that relationship with God. It's all about relationships. Now, some of you are going to be shy, and some of you are going to be introvert. But there are some basic relationships that you need to have. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. I kind of wanted to kind of step back and go, listen, if I'm going to get through life, and I want to feel good about myself, and I want to be and supporters and have these relationships. How does it work? And so I want us to look at just basically five relationships and then how to make those work this morning. But I begin with this verse. If you're looking at y'all, I love this verse. It's when you read it, you kind of go, okay. Then listen to what he's saying. You are better off to have a friend than to be all alone. We would agree with that. But listen to what he goes on. Because then you will get more enjoyment out of what you earn. Here's the statement. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you're never going to have fun all by yourself. Isn't that what he said? You can accumulate all this wealth. You can be successful all you want. You can have everything. But if you don't have relationships, you have nothing. Isn't that kind of what he's talking about here? You can earn all this. And what's so hard is people are weird. People get on your nerves. Anybody that ever gets on your nerves? Anybody got a spouse? Don't raise your hand if you do. Anybody got children? You just drive you batty? Brothers and sisters? Relationships are hard, but we need them. We need them. And here's five. I want us to think about these five. And the first one, like I said, if you're just out, this is a good day to check God out. Because the first one is this. You must have a relationship with God. All right? You must have a relationship with God. Now, just maybe some of you are here this morning that aren't Christians and you're still kind of checking God out. And I'm going to kind of talk about that this morning. But some of you are Christians, and let me tell you, you're sitting there saying, well, I don't need to worry about that. I already have a relationship with God. I'm going to ask you, do you? I got a Sunday relationship with God. I got a Sunday morning relationship with God. I meet him every Sunday morning. We're good. You know, I got people, Christians, that think that's okay. I hope that's not you. I know God. It's more than that. Let's get a picture here. Because, again, I'm going to tell you, God shaped us. One of my passions for me as a pastor is I want you to know how special each and every one of you are. That's one of my passions. Because you are uniquely designed and created by God. See, here's my understanding of God. That when you were created in the womb, it was God's hand that created you. You hear me? You are designed, created. Every one of us is special. Sometimes you don't feel special. Sometimes people pick on you. Sometimes maybe it's even you have this baggage from your childhood. Some of you are in childhood right now, and it's just driving you crazy with parents. How do I live with my parents? And you got all this stuff going on. But you need to understand, you are special, and you're created, and you're unique, and you're shaped, and it's really specific design. And in that design, there's a God shape. There's shape that God fits in. That you're designed to have this specific piece for God. I looked up some games that I had when I was a kid. Some of you recognize this game. Come on, they'll show you this game. Anybody recognize this game? So Some of you are looking at the game saying, I have no idea what that game is. You're just too young, okay? You missed it. Yeah, it had the timer. You turn the timer and you try to put all those pieces in there. You know, had to put them in the right shape. You know, had to get it going. And we have this game, and I want to say that's kind of like with God. You have all these pieces in your life. And one of those pieces is a God shape. And if it's square, God fits that. You can't put the oval in there. You can't put the half moon in there. Now, some of you recognize this game. Some of you are a little bit younger. You recognize this one. Anybody recognize that one now? You might still have that in your closet, right? You know, that's one of those games, you know. And those shapes, they fit in specific things. And see, what I want you to understand that God has a shape in you that he fits into, that he shaped you for. I read what Jesus quoted. Here's what Jesus quoted the Old Testament. From the very beginning, when God spoke to Moses, here's what he said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. See, Jesus was just quoting the Old Testament. We're designed that way. It hasn't changed. We're designed that way. But see, the problem is we stuff other things in that hole. How many of us have seen somebody? I know it's none of you, right? I'm going to give you it's none of you. How many have seen somebody try to stuff alcohol in that hole that God fits in? Anybody ever seen somebody stuff alcohol in that hole? Drugs? Promiscuity and sex? Trying to shove all sorts of things into that hole? Money? Power? We try to put all these other things into this hole that's shaped for God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going, you know, I just can't figure life out. I can't figure what's going on. Nothing ever seems to work. I can't seem to get my life together. And you're wrestling with all this thing. My question is, what do you put in that hole that's shaped for God? Because we all have that hole. We all have that shape. And we stuff, you know, I'll just stuff busyness. I'll just stay busy. And if I just stay busy, I don't have time to sit and think. And we stuff all sorts of stuff in that hole. So I want to challenge you this morning as I lay out this message that you need to step back and make sure God fits that hole in your life. That God is there. Now, like I say, if you're a Christian, you said, I already put God in that hole. Is he still there? Yeah. Kind of wobbly around a little bit. Yeah. I still do my thing, but kinda, you know, God kind of is in there a little bit. You think, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have to kind of worry about you. Anybody ever know messed up Christian? You know? Because we can sometimes get off track. You know, I said we because I'm included in that. You know? And we wrestle with those kind of things. So I put it this way in your outline. Open your life up to Jesus Christ. Open your life up to Jesus Christ. You got to reach that point in your life. And those who've been with me in this journey in this church know what I say. It's plainly and it's simple. It's not a matter of, well, my mom and dad were Christians. My grandfather was a Christian. My grandfather was a preacher, preached in Brush Arbors up and down, picked the cotton up and down the valley here in the Central Valley. And so I'm a Christian because my grandpa was a Christian. Well, I was baptized as a baby, so I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday, or mostly Sundays. Well, at least Christmas and Easter Sundays. So I'm a Christian. I try to do the best I can. It's none of that. I say it this way in this church. I say it week in and week out. You got to get a point in your life where you say something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm tired of fixing my own life. I'm trying to get everything straight in my own life, God. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it yours. Come into my life and take control. You need to plug Jesus into that shape in your life as you're trying to figure this out. And you know, this morning you're sitting here and your life is just kind of puzzling, and it's kind of, you know, and you got all these pieces sitting there like those games. And you're trying to figure out, I want to tell you, take that piece that says God. God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm going to do it yours. But it doesn't stop there. See, a lot of people, and this is one of my frustrations as a pastor, a lot of people get enough God to make them miserable. Anybody ever see Christians like that? Anybody ever see a miserable Christian? Just a sourpuss? Just ooze with just Eeyore. I'm here. So here's what I put. You got to join a church family. You know, you gotta join. You gotta be a part. You gotta get in. You know, when I was a kid and a teenager, I wanted to be with the in crowd. Anybody want to be with the in crowd when you were growing up? Anybody? You guys are a bunch of, nobody want to be with the in crowd? I'm the only one. Man, I wanted to be with the in crowd, man. I wanted to be cool. You know? 64 convertible Mustang, you know. You know, I was cool. I was the in. We all want to be in. Well, when it comes to God, you got to get in. You got to get involved. You got to be a part, you know. You hear us talk in this church. Join a small group. Get in a Bible study group. There's Monday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. There's Thursday morning. There's Friday. There's Sunday afternoon. We'll create one for you. Because we see that relationships that we need in our life, you know, that support network. I just finished a book. I'm going to do another series in this church on mental health. I'm doing some research on depression. And I'm doing some research. I just finished a book. And the number one thing this guy said throughout this book is, you need others in your life. You need others in your, over and over, he kept saying, over and over, do this, you can use this, there's some tools, there's no one thing fits all, but the one thing that ran through the whole book was this, you need others. Get in a small group, join some others, get around some others, you build this support network. And so the first relationship you need to have in your life, if you're going to have a purposeful life, you want to have a meaningful, you want a life that you can enjoy. One of my prayers is, God, that I have a life that I enjoy and that's pleasing to God. That's one of my prayers. It starts with God. So I ask you, there's the first relationship. How about the second relationship? I wrote it this way. You must have at least one mentor relationship. Now, that's a fancy word. What it means is you have to have somebody in your life who's just a little further down the road than you are. A little more knowledge, a little more experience than you are. You need to have somebody in your life who's walking with you, who's walking alongside of you, who's encouraging you and is there for you and will help you as you take this journey through life. And they call them a mentor. That's kind of the word that's kind of thrown out there today all the time. But you need somebody in your life. Look at what it says. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. We need at least one. I look back over my life. Sometimes we need somebody that's a financial counselor, somebody who can mentor us financially. Anybody have financial struggles? Yeah. Anybody have budget issues besides, you know, it seems like the month goes longer than the money. And sometimes we need somebody to walk with us and a little more knowledge, a little more experience with finances, or how about parenting skills? Anybody here a perfect parent? Isn't it nice to have somebody, somebody who just knows a little bit more than you know? I've seen kids get married, and this was a surprise to me. I grew up and I babysat it. I did something. I've seen people get married and never changed a diaper in their life. How do you change a diaper? We wrestle with things. But some parenting skills. What do you do with a teenager? I'll give you an idea. You get a 50-gallon drum, drill some holes in it, throw them in there, staple it down, and put it away. When they turn 21, open it up and let them out. All right? Teenagers. I don't know what else to do with a teenager. How do we deal? As we go through life, we have all these questions. Isn't it nice to have somebody you can call? Somebody that you can depend on. I mean, I had a house that had a septic tank. I have a house with a septic tank. Mm-hmm. You know what you got to do? I'm used to just flushing the toilet and saying goodbye. You got to treat those things. If you don't treat that thing, it ain't going to treat you nice. Dad, what do you do with the septic tank? I remember somebody wanted to get baptized, wanted to go to the river and get baptized in the church. It's like, okay, I'm going to go to the river. Well, I never baptized in the river. I was, here's this nice Baptist, nice warm water. And we had one in our church. I didn't have to even get in. I called my pastor, Pastor Lehman. Somebody wants to get baptized. What do I do? He says, baptize them head up river. Well, why? So the water pushes them up and not back down when you're bringing them up. Oh, okay, that's smart. We need somebody in our life that's just a little bit ahead. And no telling what it might be. It might be career. It might be work. You know, it might be school. You know, I was telling somebody this morning, I was the first one in my family to school. I'm getting ready to graduate junior college. And so I go to my counselor's office. I got like a month to go to finish up. And I want to graduate junior college so I can go on to college as a junior. And it's like, what's your major? Undeclared. Well, you can't graduate undeclared. Nobody told me. I needed somebody that had a little more experience and a little more knowledge. And I wasn't smart enough to ask, fortunately. God was smart enough to make sure I had enough everywhere that it worked. You see, I give God the credit because Gary's not that smart. But we need that. We need those relationships in our life. We need those people in our life and those mentors in our life that can help us. And I always say this too. You need somebody in your life who can tell you the hard things. You need somebody in your life who can look you in the eye and say, you know what, you're being a jerk right now. Because I hate to tell you, most of us at one point in our life, we've been jerks. At least I'm willing to admit it. You know, I don't know about you, but I've done some stupid things. You know? And if somebody would have been good enough to tell me, Gary, you're being an idiot right now, it would have been helpful. And so we need people in our life that can tell us the hard things. We need people in our life who's going to encourage us. So we need mentors in our life. I like this passage here in Proverbs. A wise man will listen and increase his learning. A discerning man will obtain guidance. See, are you smart enough to listen to others? That's kind of what it's saying. You need that relation. I'm going to ask you, who's a mentor for you? At work, at school, parenting, financially. I look back over my life there. Some of you know, have been in the church a while. The guy named Bill Sims was an evangelist in our area. I loved Bill, and Bill just had the gift of evangelism, hanging around with Bill Sims and just trying to learn and glean from him. Another guy, Jerry Harris. Jerry Harris was a Sunday school leader for the state of California in church work. And Bible study. And when we built our building, one of the statements I never forget, every time I see Jerry, he's an older man now. I'm still young. He's an older man now. And I always said this, when you build your building, you buy by the acre, you buy by the foot, you build by the inch. And when we built this building, that was going through my mind because that man had invested in me. I'm going to tell you, I got another mentor in my life that I need to listen to more frequently than all right? It's called a wife. Anybody got one of those? Yeah, we need to listen to our wives more than we should, than we don't, okay? Than we should, yeah, we need more than we don't. Because they do. It's part of that. We need those relationships. How about this next one? So you need God. You got to have a relationship with God. You got to have a relationship with some mentors in your life, somebody. And it's usually at least one. I have several different ones in areas. You know? And then this next one I put down here, you must have a strong peer relationship. You got to have friends, close friends. Who do you enjoy going out with? Who do you enjoy hanging out with? Who do you have fun with? Yeah. I look down my street, and I think this is a major problem in our world today. That's why I'm preaching this series and sharing it. I see people who have no friends. Nobody to go out to dinner with. They drive into their driveway, they push the button, the door goes up, they drive in the garage, they push the button, and nobody goes in. I got neighbors on my street that nobody goes and sees. I've talked to them when they go to the mailbox. I don't know if they're shy, I don't know if they're timid, I don't know if they're an introvert. They don't talk much. But I'm saying, I hope that's not you. But we need those friends. We need those people in our life that we can enjoy being with. I enjoy my Bible study groups. We're already planning another barbecue for one. My other one, we're already trying to plan a restaurant we're going to go to, and it is not Olive Garden, all right, Lauren? We are not going to Olive Garden again, all right? We're going to go have Mexican food. But I enjoy going out with these people. I enjoy hanging out with these. Who do you enjoy hanging out with? You need those relationships. If all you do is go home and sit in your house and turn the boob tube on, I don't know. I don't know what to call you. I gotta watch what I say. We got to understand, we need those relationships. Look at what it says. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Life is hard. Circumstances get you down. Write this down. Life's not fair. Do you have to write that down? I think we know that. You need somebody that's walking with you through life. You need somebody that's with you through life and that's right with you. Again, look at what it says. Spend time with the wise and you'll become wise, but the friends of a fool will suffer. Anybody remember your parents telling you that? Watch who you hang out with. Anybody remember your parents? Yeah. It wasn't your parents. It's from Proverbs. But most of we get older, we go, how wise that was. There's been times when I was with the wrong crowd. And so we need that relationships with others. We need that peer relationship. So I'm going to ask, who are you going to go out for dinner with? Who are you going to invite over for dessert and have a cup of coffee? Who will you meet at Starbucks? I'll go to McDonald's and have sweet tea. Anybody want to? I'll go visit with you. It's going to cost you $1 to buy me a sweet tea, $1.60 a cup. I'll sit and talk with you. Do you have that relationship? You got to have God. You got to have a mentor. You got to have those peers. This next one right here. You must invest in someone. Just like you need a mentor, you need to be a mentor. All right? I didn't want to use that big word again. I just want to be a simple guy. Yeah. But you need to be investing in others. You need to be giving yourself away to others. You need to be spending some time with others. You have some knowledge. You have some experiences. You have stuff in your life that you can share with others. And you need to be doing that. We need to be connecting with different ones. And look at what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I'm going to ask, who are you taking time to invest in? Who are you spending time with? Yesterday, I took Dan and Steven, and we went down to a conference in Fresno and sat for 6 hours? It hurt. It was good. Who are you investing in? And I tell you, I enjoy, you hear me talk about my Bible study groups. I have so much fun in Bible study groups. Just good people. We're having a great time together. We're learning and sharing our lives and our journeys. But there's a group that just energizes me. One of those groups I just tremendously love. I love you guys, others, you know, I'm with you guys. I love you guys. But this group pops you guys. I'm sorry. It's called Awana. All right? I'm going to tell you, there is nothing more exciting than to sit in that hallway over there with 3 or 4 little kids, kindergartners and 5-year-olds, and Fred knows what I'm talking about. And you're sitting there, and these kids are quoting the Bible to you. And they're telling you stories, and they're quoting. They've memorized. I'm going to ask you, how many here can tell me the books of the Bible in order? Huh? Start with this. We'll just start the New Testament. I'll just give you 20. I'll just give you the 20. What, 26? Some of the kids know that one. 27. Is it 27? 27. See, I got to remember. Yeah. But here's what I want you to know something. I'm going to die before 2100. Okay? But some of these kids are going to be alive in 2100. Investing in the next century. And I'm having fun. See, we need to invest in others. I'm going to tell you, you want to invest, man. Get down with the kids. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. They're wanting to move me. They're wanting to move me. Because Dan's going to promote and take some older kids and there's going to be an opening over there, and I might be helping Brenda next year. You notice how I said that. I didn't say I was going to do it. I said I'm going to help Brenda next year. I like the little one. Either you got to be little. I don't want the cubbies. I don't want those either. Kindergarten, first grade, that's kind of fun. Second, third, fourth. Preteens, forget it. That's Dan, okay? And they're wanting me to go up. I'm going to do wherever I have to be because I'm in these kids' lives. And what's so exciting is, I'm going to tell you, some of those kids are my grandkids. Are you investing in your grandkids? And I just want to encourage you, who are you investing in? Look, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Who are you investing in? Talk to Fred. Talk to Brenda. Talk to Dolores over here. She had to go work, changed her schedule. But she had the cubbies. Talk to them. They'll tell you how much fun it is to impact these little kids. But you have to just, what about a teenager? You know, some teenagers are really hurting right now. Take them out to McDonald's. Get them a sweet tea. Get them all hyper and then send them home. Just listen to them. Let them talk. I'm going to tell you, I feel so sad for teenagers today. I was so blessed to grow up when I grew up. Now, you know, the 60s and 70s, that was a good time to grow up. Anybody agree with me? Some of you guys are going, yeah, it was really a good time. But these kids, I think it's hard to grow up today. I had so many benefits, and they got so many rules and restrictions. And how about mentoring some teenagers? I say this, and this is something I notice as I do Vacation Bible School. It's so fun to watch. You take preschoolers, and know who the preschoolers look at? They look at children. You know who the children look at? They look at teenagers. You know who the teenagers look at? Look at the college kids. You see what I'm saying? We're all mentors. We all need to invest in someone. Am I okay saying that? You know, who are you invest? You need that relationship. I'm excited. I really do. I'm sitting there when I was writing this, I'm thinking about some of these kids that are memorizing God's word. They're going to be alive in 2100. I'll be dead. 2099, okay? No, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to make it that long. But you know what? They're going to have an impact. Because I spent some time when they were 5 years old. Think about it. Who are you investing in? I wanted to say that. Look at what it says. Teach the wise and they will become wiser. Teach good people and they will learn even more. Proverbs 9:9. Sound pretty good? How about this last one? You must build relationships with some non-believers. Now, if you're a non-believer, what that means is you haven't crossed that invisible line yet. And what I want to challenge Christians to this morning is you need to build some relationship with some people who don't go to church. You need to build some relationship with people who are not connected to God. They're just not going to drop into this church. Almost everyone in this church is here this morning because somebody invited them. Am I right? And we need to build those relationships. We need to reach out to relationships. The greatest picture for me is a picture of Jesus. One day, Jesus and his disciples are coming down the road and heading into Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I need a break. I need a break. They come to this well. And Jesus said, I'm going to take a break. You guys go on into town and get some stuff, bring it back out. I'll sit here. I'll get some water, and I'll just take a break right here. And I'll just sit here and take a break. And Jesus is sitting there. And up from the town comes a lady to get water that day. She needs water. Now, you stand. A lady coming up out of city by herself says something. Because see, all the other ladies in town had come up that morning. They come up as a group. They all get together and they leave and they march up the hill and they gather the water and take it back down for the day and that evening and they take their water down there. But this one came up later in the day, came up by herself. It tells us this girl's got a problem. People in town don't like her for whatever reason. There's an issue going on. And so Jesus is sitting there and says, give me some water. He starts building a relationship. She's there to get water. Give me some water. And the lady's stunned because, first of all, she's not a Jew. And second of all, she's a woman and the guy's talking to her. Jesus begins to build this relationship simply by asking, I need some water. That's all his question was. He's going to build a relationship to this outcast from the city by asking for some water. He's building this relationship. And he ends up in the story telling her about Jesus and who he is. And he's the true water, the living water, the water that can change lives. And she goes and tells the town what's going on. And the whole town comes. And people begin to believe in Jesus because this one lady, that Jesus took the time to meet and to talk intentionally. See, I want to ask you, who are you building relationships with? Now, it's not a project. I'm going to go build a relationship so I can get them saved. That's my plan. Don't make anybody ever feel like a project. Do it because you love them. There's people, you need to know, there's people in this town, I've been here so long, there's people in this town I have been praying for 30 years. 30 years. I've watched these kids. I have so much fun now. I've been here so long, I see some of these teenagers in town. They were 4 and 5 years old. Now they're, you know, in their 30s, these raising kids. I look at them and I tell them, you know where you need to be. I don't need to tell you. You need to get in church. Because I've watched them grow up. I've watched them grow up, and it's like, I'm not going to beat around the bush with you. You know where you need to be. We just had a funeral here the other day, and some of the kids were here. They're in their 30s now. And I looked at them, and I told them, you know where you need to be. I don't need to invite you to church anymore. You just need to come. Who are you investing in? Who are you inviting? Look, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Who are we reaching? Who's unconnected that we need to look for? Look at what it says. Jesus said to his followers, there are many people to harvest, but only a few workers to help harvest them. Are you one of the few? Who are we going after? Look, and I like this. If you fall, your friend can help you up. But if you fall without having a friend nearby, you are really in trouble. Anybody agree with that one? We need these relationships. All right? I get tired as a pastor. I've had people literally tell me, I don't need anybody but God. I've been told that. If you tell me that, I'm going to tell you what. You're a liar. I'll tell you to your face, okay? Because you're not lying to me. You're lying to yourself. We need these relationships, all right? Let me give you four things real quick on how to make this happen, all right? I'm just going to nail these down really, really quick. Four things. It's on the back page of your outline there. Four things real quick. Four great things. You need to listen well. Now, you guys are going to say, I know that, right? But how many of you, I didn't put my phone in my, I meant to bring my phone with me. How many of you will have a conversation while you're sitting there on your phone? Yeah, I hear you. Okay, yeah. I've seen you. You're not listening. Put your phone down and talk. Am I okay? You know, some of you younger ones are going, he's being mean right now. Yeah, I'm being mean. Put your phone down. I never forgot. I'm sitting at my computer typing. My little granddaughter, Jules, she's older now. She's 16. But she was little, 5, 6, 7 years. I can't remember how old she was, somewhere in that ballpark. And she'd come in. She always liked hanging around. And she'd come in and sit on the arm of the chair while I'm typing at my computer. And so I'm typing one day, and she's sitting on the arm of the chair, and we're just talking, you know, and I'm typing, and she stops and grabs my face and turns my face and says, look at me. You know? And if you know Jules, yeah, that's Jules, all right? The people need that. I'm going to tell you, listen well. Put your phone down, look at somebody, and carry on a conversation. Is that okay for me to say? You know, look at what the scripture says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen. But I just want to challenge you. Put the phone down. Pay attention. What did you say? You know, how many of you sat at the TV and talked with your spouse? On TV. Let me pause this for a minute so I can hear what you're saying. Come on now. Come on now. I'm being honest. How many of you are sitting in the computer room, typing on your computer, your wife's in the living room, and she's yelling instructions for you, and you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you got to get up and, okay, what is it you said? Yeah. We need to learn to listen well. If you want to build relationships, you got to learn to listen well. Is everybody on board? How about this next one? You got to love well. You got to love well. And I told you, love is not a feeling. Well, I got these goosebumps. It's feeling good. You give me goosebumps. I love you so much. No. It's a choice. That was last week. You want to listen to a good message? I'm going to tell you, I love last week's message. Go back and listen to it. Because it's a choice. You choose. You choose. So I'm just going to challenge you. Make a choice to love. Choose to be patient. Choose to be gentle. Choose to be kind. That 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has all those words in there. Those are choice words. Those are choice words. And so I encourage you to choose that. Look at what he says. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Mark 12:31. Love. Love. Choose to love. How about this next one? Serve well. You want to build relationships, serve well. Let me give you a little hint about life. It ain't about you. All right? Life's not about you. It's all about me. Well, that's how we like to think, isn't it? Life's not about my wife. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about where I want to go to dinner. It's about what I want for lunch. Come on, you guys, where are we going to go for lunch? Don't you like those arguments for lunch? Come on, now, if you're, it's like, where do you want to go for lunch? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Well, you're the one that has the diet issues. Anybody ever had those arguments? Argument over nothing? I want to serve you, honey. No. Where do you want to go for lunch? Do we serve others? Are we giving of ourselves? Do we put others' interests before ours? That remote on the TV is mine. It's got my name on it. I'm going to go home and put it on. Do we serve others? Therefore, as an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And then the last one I put here, you got to forgive. You're going to build relationships. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to learn to forgive. How many ever had a best friend who hurt you? Anybody has a best friend? Anybody had a best friend that hurt you? What'd you have to do? They're still your best friend because you what? You forgave them, right? We got to learn to forgive, all right? We had a great study, our home group on Monday night just watched Rick Warren do a great conversation on forgiveness. And awesome. I said, I'm going to preach that. So one of these days, I'm going to pull that one out and make my own outline and preach it because it was just a great offer. Great offer. We just got to learn to let things go because I'm going to tell you, if you don't let it go, it's going to hurt you more than it hurts them. And I'll give you a little hint. You know, if you're holding grudges against somebody or resentment or bitterness against somebody, they might enjoy that. Hey, man, I got... Just so you know, that's kind of me. I'm a sarcastic kind of guy sometimes. Yeah, see, you heard that, yeah. I'm a sarcastic kind of guy. If I can aggravate you, yeah. Let me tell you, I can tell you how to win an argument. Here's the key to winning every argument. You get them mad so they're out of control. Didn't you? You got to learn to forgive, guys. You got to learn to let go. Rick Warren's way, sometimes he has a conversation with his wife. She doesn't get hysterical. She gets historical. Bringing up all the past. Anybody ever have those kind of arguments? Not hysterical, but historical. We got to learn to forgive. Listen, we need relationships in our life. I want to give you these four things. You're going to need these relationships. You're going to need them. You can't get through life. There's that shape in you. One of them is for God, and you got all these other little pieces. There's mentors, and you got to extend others, and you got to have those peer relationships, and you got to have these relationships. But you got to have to do it. Will you listen? Will you serve? Will you love? Will you forgive? I close with this: when the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone," I will make him a helper suitable for him. I kind of quote the King James. I'm going to ask you, who's your friend? Who's your friend? Number one friend. Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Who's your mentor? Who's your peer? Who do you enjoy with? Who are you investing in? And who do you know that needs Jesus? It's your choice. Do you spend some time? Will you love them? Will you listen to them? Will you serve them? Will you be a friend who loves them and forgives them? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for your wisdom that you formed each of us. Lord, there's not one here that was not formed and designed by you. That each life here you breathe the breath of life into. The breath of life is a gift from God, and you breathe life into each and every individual that is here. And you shape them. And you shape them in a knee relationship. Let it begin with you. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're wrestling with some relationships right now. Maybe broken relationships in the family. Maybe some stress in the home. I don't know. But you want me to pray for you in your relationship. Maybe it's a relationship with God that you need to get straight. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Have you seen the hands of those who burdened over their relationships? We need one another, Lord, and yet it's so hard to be in relationship. There's wounds. There's hurts. There's been exchange of words. There's been deeds or actions that cause tremendous pain. And it makes relationships difficult. That you are a God who heals all wounds, mends hearts, that restores lives. And so I ask you to step into the heart of each and every one of these that shot their hand up. And that you'll encourage their heart. That you'll strengthen them. That they can see you move in the midst of those relationships and see the hand of God moving, not just in their life, but in the one that they need, the ones that they want to experience. They move in the midst, prepare the way to find joy in all our relationships. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.